Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you should happen to find this. Welcome to the Quote of Arms podcast. I am Coach J. Rowe, the Unsummoned Skull, your host with the most. On this podcast, we talk about our favorite creature types, archetypes, and synergies, formerly known as tribes, but now we just refer to it in a more generic term because it's also more accurate. You know, like I have an earthquake deck that's not technically a tribe. So it's a more accurate term. It's also a more socially responsive term. So I'm joined today by...
I'm Giraffe Nat. You can also just call me Nat, but I go by Giraffe Nat all over the internet. I'm an MTG content creator and cosplayer, and you're most likely to see me at your favorite events across the country. If not, then you'll just see me all over the interwebs.
That's wonderful to have you. Apparently, I rolled a die for guests for this week, and it turned up a Nat 20.
I love that.
So what creature type, archetype, or synergy are we talking about today?
We're talking about fun guys, because they're fun guys.
Awesome. there was a previous episode about fungi on, I think it was with Andy Flory, where we talked about a four-color version with Atraxa, putting extra, proliferating the counters on... like spore counters to create more saprolings and fungi. It'll be interesting to see what the take is this time and what sorts of similarities and differences there are. So to start off, what are fungi in Magic?
They are the fungus creature type. They can be combined with other types as well. I feel like they typically, if you've seen the Last of Us TV show that is out, I feel like they kind of look like the fungus people from that show. Similar vibes. They are pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, because I remember reading about, actually even before The Last of Us came out, I was reading about how there are some sporiform myconids that are able to, possess the brains of animals and get them to continue to walk about in a rudimentary way. Usually for things like spiders, but bigger things too, apparently.
First one was like a fungus dinosaur, which I'm just trying to imagine like a fungus taking over a dinosaur. Like it's kind of crazy.
Was that one just fungusaur? I think
a fungusaur. Yeah. They're like, you know, fungus is just a crazy thing. Like they're, like you said, they're able to just kind of possess things. So I think they're just kind of like a little underrated little living organisms there, so.
Absolutely. So how would that transfer into Magic?
So there's a lot of, well, not a lot of, but there's a decent amount of fungus in Magic. I don't know a whole lot of the lore behind them. I know that, like, trudges are really big in, like, the Strixhaven. Like, with the Witherbloom, they kind of dive more into the fungus. But they're kind of just kind of spread out throughout Magic. Again, mainly just a creature type that is, you know, on its own or combined with a creature that it has possessed. So,
yeah, there were fungi on Dominaria, I believe, in both. Like just about every time they go back to Dominaria, there's some fungus related cards. And that actually goes back to Homelands. Homelands people like to deride as like one of the worst sets of all time, but Homelands is also one of the sets that introduced the concept of creature type synergies. That's where thalids come from.
Yeah, phthalates are probably the most well-known, I would say, fungi in magic.
Yeah, thalids are the type that sort of germinate the forest. They get spore counters and then remove spore counters to do different things. I used to have a budget thalid deck that was Thelon of Havenwood, which is also one of the cards that made the issue of of color identity with activated abilities. So Thelon of Havenwood looks like it would be mono green, but it's actually green black. And then it gets creatures plus one for each spore counter on them. So it actually uses the thalids aggressively. Thelon comes from Time Spiral, which is like an alternate timeline set. It was one of the first sets I experienced when I started playing. So Time Spiral goes back to like Homelands and takes a lot of those effects from Homelands and puts it into different colors, or puts it in sometimes in the same colors, but just brings back some of those effects. So there are actually a lot of thalids in Time Spiral and Future Sight as well.
Yeah, and hopefully there's more coming. I feel like, even with these new Phyrexian sets, maybe there'll be a Phyrexian fungi. I feel like they kind of like the like Phyrexian like oil and like fungi do very like similar like possession kind of stuff. So, that would be interesting to see, I think.
Maybe. It would also be interesting to see, like, I know water and oil don't mix, but what if you use the oil to water the phthalates?
Yeah, it's like I don't know who would win in that battle. I don't know if the fungi or the Phyrexian oil would win, so
That would be strange. It would be interesting to see if one perhaps feeds the other. I don't know. I have no idea how that would work.
yeah, it just turns into a blob of with no like no idea of what to do.
Then during the so when we went back to Dominaria in this in the set Dominaria, there were more fungi that were made, but they were mostly like interacting with saprolings, which is what I mean. Back to what Thalid used to do is make saprolings, so it makes sense.
Yeah, and that's actually how I got into fungi to begin with, was actually from a Dominaria United card, who I turned into a commander deck, which is an Armada,
Oh, nice.
which cares about saprolings. So again, like we talked about the black green kind of taking over the fungi. That's kind of the way I went with that deck, and it's turned into one of my favorite decks for that reason. Namad is based off the original Dominaria legend of Namada Grove Guardian, which Namada herself is not a fungi or a saproling, just a tree folk, which is interesting. But works really well with fungi.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, what is a saproling? It sounds like a weird name. There was actually a group that made two-sided tokens, led by Rob Dougherty, who used to be a Magic pro, and they printed it as sapling. So it'd be interesting to see, was that actually what they were supposed to be called, and they just called it sapling, and it took off. The
Because
sapling makes sense.
yeah, sapling, especially with tree folk, kind of that synergy. Like you think of tree, you think of sap, tree sap. Saprolings. I wonder if they just made it sound more of like a creature, or if sapling just wasn't quite what they wanted to go with. Like if sapling made it seem too like oozy.
Yeah, it's also like how do you differentiate a sapling from a plant?
Yeah, that's true too, 'cause plant is its own creature type as well.
Although there's a number of other things that are really difficult to tell apart, like soldiers, this picture of a soldier, like if you look at the soldier token, it looks like it should be a human, but it doesn't have to be. It's just generic soldier. So if you have
Yeah.
something that pumps humans, why doesn't it pump that
Yeah, soldier, human, and knight, I feel like
guy?
are really similar. So like
Warrior.
saplings,
Yeah.
plants, and I feel like there's another one that's similar. Every time I'm looking for tokens, I'm like, oh, I would love for this to be a sapling art, but it's like a plant art.
Dryads, maybe?
Yeah, maybe dryads. But yeah, I feel like those green creatures, those little green creatures, end up being pretty similar. But they do different things, so.
Absolutely. So how does Nomada work with fungi?
So Nomada reads, it's a 3/4 with reach tree folk. If a creature an opponent controls would die, exile it instead. When you do, create a 1/1 green sapperling creature token. You can sacrifice the sapperling and give Nomada +2/+2 till end of the turn, or you can pay 2 to sacrifice 2 sapperlings and draw a card. So obviously you need some sapperling engine, other than Nomada, so that way you're getting the most synergy out of it. So I think I've stuck almost every possible green or black fungi that makes sapperlings in there. A lot of people will put Nomada into the 99 of Slimefoot, which is a fungus card that you probably would be more familiar with commander-wise, because there was a whole secret lair for Slimefoot and fungi. I built Nomada because I wanted some of the sacrifice synergy with the exiling. Nomada combos off pretty easily with Grave Pact and Dictate of Erebos. So you're constantly making sapperlings and then sacking them and then just continually doing that until you kill all of your opponents or they have no boards. So yeah, every possible fungus you could think of that makes sapperlings is in there. I think I included a couple other fungi just because they're fun in there. Not all of them make sapperlings, but a lot of them work synergistically with like graveyard recursion and whenever creatures die, kind of things. And typically the sapperlings aren't living on your board very long, so.
Yeah, when you have a table like that, they can tend to wipe stuff, and once people recognize some of the engines that are going on, they tend not to be as forgiving about
Yeah,
it.
I think once people see like sapperlings and spore counters, they're like, "Oh, like okay, you're just putting spore counters on things." And then once your synergies start to become more apparent, then people are like, "Oh, I probably should stop whatever is happening over
Yeah.
there."
Especially considering how few of them actually require mana to function. So they just keep accumulating spore counters. You can proliferate them every now and then if you have that in your deck. And then you just pop them off on end step.
Yeah, and a lot of them synergize with each other. So, like, there's one that you can put spore sour thallid. You put a spore counter on each fungus you control, and you're already putting typically a spore counter on it on your upkeep, so you're putting double the spore counters that you normally would. So there's a lot of ways to synergize that, so that way your spore counters are actually happening a lot quicker than once every 3 turns.
Yeah, I used to have the old school Nimada. I love tree folk. They're not my favorite creature type, but pretty high up there. And so I used to have an old school Nimada deck that had mana doublers, and then would try to make as many saplings as I could on end step, and then Nimada sack a sapling, all saplings get +1/+1 until end of turn. So just exponentially growing your guys.
I feel like there's so many different ways to go with saplings. Like, you can just, fill out your board with saplings and try to use combat, or you can sack them for aristocrat shenanigans, which is the way I took it, so.
Oh yeah, it's always wonderful to have a card draw engine in the command zone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially since you're playing black, so you have a little bit of card draw, but it's nice to just have that available
Yeah, green
whenever.
sometimes struggles a bit, although it has gotten a lot of support recently. But if you're going with small creatures, green does struggle a little bit with some of the earlier card draw. Basically, turns 1 through 4. They have some card draw, but not a ton. that's where some decks will go for restocks, some decks will lean into the other colors. But having it in the command zone is always a nice feeling.
Yeah, so it has a lot of utility in that way. I haven't killed anybody yet with Nimada commander damage, because you can buff Nimada, but I haven't actually done that yet, so. Plus there's other creatures where you don't have to pay mana to sack them, and typically I'm using those in order to trigger like in the deck I have things like Blood Artist and Poison Tip Archer and stuff that when your creatures die it deals damage, so
Oh yeah, how else does Blood Artist get the so you get the wood to make the paintbrushes, right?
They just turn the fungi into art, those little saplings, it's the blood of the saplings. That's what the blood artist is using.
Oh, they use the sap for the paint, and then they use the wood for
Yeah,
the
multi-purpose.
brush. Yeah. So, we talked about the spore counters and how so those accumulate. Do you usually just let the spore counters accumulate, or do you use like proliferate shenanigans, or maybe fogs to try to buy turns for them to accumulate? What sort of things do you do to make sure that they are getting the counters that they need?
I'm not really using much proliferate in there. Like I said, I try to use the synergistic cards like Spore Sour, which lets you put an extra one. And then there's like there's a Sporeloth Ancient, which lets you remove 2 spore counters, so you're reducing the cost to make a sapperling. So those are both in there. Nimada herself will make sapperlings when your opponent's creatures die. So you are getting some other sapperling creation in there. I have a spore mound in there, which is a fungus that doesn't create or it doesn't have spore counters, but it'll create sapperlings like whenever a land enters the battlefield. And then there's the There's a. What is the name of that other one? The one where you have a number of counters and then. Why can I not think of this card? Sorry.
Okay, it's okay. So, what does the card do?
Oh, here it is. Mygaloth. That one.
Ah,
Why
okay,
couldn't I
Big
think? Why
Mikey.
couldn't I think? Yeah, why couldn't I think of the name of that card? Where you can sacrifice the sapperlings you've already made, again, to trigger whatever aristocrat card you have out. But you create a sapperling for each counter on it, because the sack creatures you sack for it will give it counters. So I have a couple extra sapperling creators in there. I'm not focusing as much on proliferate, just because it does make the deck a little bit slower. I want it to be a little more on the casual side. So I think I just focus mainly on the extra ways to make sapperlings and then the synergies between those cards that do reduce costs or give you extra spore counters.
Absolutely. So Mykoloth has Devour. How do you decide what to devour?
Typically I am devouring sapperlings because I should have when I'm playing it, I should have a bunch of sapperlings out at that point. So it's a fungi created from sapperlings that makes more sapperlings. Like I said, it's aristocrat, so I don't mind sacrificing my sapperlings as much because there's triggers that happen from that. And so it eats what it is. It, you know, you are what you eat, I guess, is the definition of how I use my cloth.
So that's one of the tricky things sometimes is if you don't have a ton of saplings, but you have some of the sapling producers out, you just wait to make Mykoloth until you have the bodies to sack to it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna try to sacrifice some of my more important pieces that are out on the battlefield. Anytime I can sacrifice tokens, I will choose to do that.
Yeah, these are some
But
of the.
if I'm really desperate, then I will, but I usually will just wait until I have some sapperlings out.
Absolutely. I'm just getting at these are some of the strategic decisions that make a deck like this interesting to play. We talk about like the play of a deck, like does your deck have play? Usually that's referring to like if you play this deck a bunch of times, what are some of the things that you would learn about it and do differently? This is some of the play that the deck has to it.
Yeah, so I've enjoyed every time I've played this deck. I've played it quite a few times. It is one of my newer decks. But I have played it quite a few times and I've enjoyed every time I've played it. Typically, I'm trying to get out some sapperlings using spore counter creatures, my fungi, bring them out to the party, and then get one of my sacrifice outlets out, which some of the fungi themselves have sacrifice outlets, or I have like Phyrexian Altar and Phyrexian Tower in there. And then trying to get out, like I said, the Blood Artist, the Poison Tip Archer, the Zoloport Cutthroat, any of those, so that I kind of have a way to loop those, I guess, and then Like I said, kind of like the win con-y cards of this deck are the Grave Pact and Dictate of Erebos, the Butcher of Malakir, where I'm forcing people to sacrifice their creatures, which will trigger Nemata to give me more Sapperlings, which I can then sacrifice to make them sacrifice more. And so it just combos off once I'm able to do that. So it. The idea is I have three, I need 3 to 4 pieces in order to make the deck win. Sometimes that happens quickly, sometimes it takes a little bit longer. It kind of depends on the luck of the draw. I have had games where I've had a really good opening hand where I've had, 2 to 3 of the pieces that I need, and I'm able to kind of get those all out and running by turn 4. And then I have games where I get out like a couple Thalids and that's about it. And I'm just making Sapperlings and vibing. But it's always a fun time with the fungi.
Absolutely, and Thalids are valid.
Thalids are valid.
That was bad. Anyways.
Here for the jokes today.
Nope, but the hits start coming and they don't stop coming. Get to the
Yeah,
ground,
so
get the ground running.
that's
Doesn't
kind
make
of how
sense,
that
nothing
deck
to
this
fall
deck
from.
has played. I haven't found any things that I've kind of wanted to swap out or switch yet. I spent a lot of time building this deck, so I feel like I kind of nails this one on the head. There's other decks I've built where I've played a couple times and I'm like, this is not it. But this deck has definitely worked for me.
That's good. It's always cool to find decks where you just feel good when you play them.
Yeah,
That's something I'm trying to revisit as well, because I made a bunch of decks that were designed to bounce stuff because I'm on someone's skull, but they just weren't fun the way that the other ones were. It felt like I was like fighting the deck.
That's kind of one of my more known decks is my cat deck, Erabo. And I'm just not really vibing with it anymore. I'm kind of taking it apart and turning it into a Jenny Fay deck, a Jenny Fay cat deck. And it doesn't mean that like the deck isn't good. It's not bringing me joy anymore, so we're just gonna transform it into something that might bring me joy.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people like to do like the color challenges. I want to build a deck in each color, or they just want to build a lot of decks, but sometimes it's just figuring out what you like to play. What are the cards you like playing? What are the the types of effects and strategies you like to play? What are the games that make you make this kinds of stories that you like to tell?
Yeah, and I really liked the fungi because I feel like I haven't really seen too many people, but of course, as soon as I built this, I saw like 3 Slimefoot decks after that. But when I had built this, I hadn't really seen too many fungi decks. So I was like, this looks interesting. It looks unique. Let's do it. And it's been a lot of fun, and I think part of that is just because it is a little bit different, but it feels very like me, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be like the rarest commander ever. Like, I have Kia.
Right.
One of my decks is Kia Mauro, which is a commander that has less than 100 decks built of it. Another one is Tatiova, which is in the top 150, but the way that I built Tatiova feels like a me deck. So my Tatiova deck, I call it Rain Dance because it's altered to be Ludicolo, which is one of my favorite Pokemon.
Oh, I love that.
And the way the deck works is it shares card draw with everybody, but It has extra land drops, and it uses the life gain from Tatyova to make it so that a giant hurricane affects everybody else but not me. And because it's a hurricane, it makes rain. So,
Maze Rain.
it's called Rain Dance because I do this dance and then I make it rain.
I love that. That's so fun.
Some people see Tatyova and they're like, "Oh, it's just a landfall deck." But no, this is a deck designed to add the life total and then use giant hurricane effects.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So, yeah, don't let the popularity dissuade you, and also play the kinds of cards that you like to play. That was something I just put out, I think, last night. A post about play the cards you like to play when you're trying out new formats. Like for those who are trying to get into Oathbreaker now,
Yeah.
start with cards that you like to play, and then think about what are cards you wish you could have in the command zone that you can't because you can only have a like certain cards in the command zone in Commander. Like if you really love Lightning Bolt, make that your signature spell. You wish you could have Lightning Bolt in the command zone? Can.
Yeah. That's me with Mill. If I could have a signature spell, it would probably be Tasha's Hideous Laughter. But yeah, but that I mean that doesn't really have anything to do with my fungi deck. Because
It's
obviously I'm not playing blue,
okay.
but yeah, I like the Mill Exile. I'm that person that likes graveyard hate. I'm so sorry, but
Not a problem. Yeah, right now we're, if you're wondering how this relates back to fungi, right now we're in kind of the segue period of going from talking about your personal philosophies and decks, and then the next question would be, okay, well, how do those apply to
perfect.
to Namada? So what sorts of stories do you tell about Namada? How do you connect to that commander in that deck?
That's a good question. I have liked aristocrat decks. I have a Chatterfang deck that does similar things but with squirrels. But fungi just seemed like an interesting I mean everybody's seen squirrels, like fungi is a little different. So kind of wanted to do similar things but with a different deck. And I feel like the two decks are very different. Just because the way Namada works, I am trying to in the end combo off rather than just sacking all my stuff and hoping for the best, like with Chatterfang, or winning with commander damage, because Chatterfang has an easier time with that. If you throw a Yavi Maya in your deck, then you have Forest Walk against everyone. But Namada, I think just the way it combos with those sacrifice cards was really interesting to me, because I'm someone when I play I don't like to board wipe and I don't like to remove full boards unless I can win, and this is one of those ways where I can do that and win. So I think I found that really interesting when I chose to build Namada, because I could have built Slimefoot, because Slimefoot, deals damage whenever a sapperling dies. But I think it was the synergy with exiling, because I get to exile people's creatures if they hit the graveyard. And like I said, I like graveyard hate. So Namada is a little bit of graveyard hate. It just means you can't recur your creatures from the graveyard. So I get a little bit of that in this deck. But I also get to do the fun aristocrat stuff that I normally do.
Nice. That's cool that you get the aristocrat stuff that you like to do, and there's a lot of different ways to play aristocrats. I actually had another friend who loved aristocrats, who was actually a mono white border, Peter. He doesn't play as often anymore, but he used to be very active in the Lexicon server. but he loved aristocrats decks and decks that were that had those like accruing advantage over the course of the game, and they made a mono blue aristocrats deck that was kind of an ode to him. But yeah, there's a lot of different ways to make those kinds of decks, and it's cool when you can sort of work those into strategies that you already like and cards that you like playing.
Yeah, I think that's why this was fun, 'cause Namada gave me that graveyard hate that I love to play, and then the way the deck works also gives me the ability to combine that with aristocrats, which, I think it was just perfect for me because I get the best of both worlds.
Oh, absolutely. It's especially good when you are playing a graveyard-based deck that you're able to also mitigate whatever advantages that would give to opponents, or that other people aren't able to use what you're doing as well as you. like if other people have some of those similar aristocrats-type cards whenever a creature dies. I think there's a vampire that pumps all your creatures whenever somebody's creature dies. So if you're able to mitigate the advantages an opponent can get off of those types of cards, that makes it so that you're playing off of an access that they don't get access to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some of the fun stories you have with the deck? Like the times that you played it or people that you played it with, or just some exciting plays that it's produced?
That's a good question. I have ADHD, so I have a really hard time remembering my games.
That's okay.
I think one of my favorite things is I display my decks, the pod. I'm like, you can choose. A lot of people will pick Namada just because they've never seen it before. A lot of people will not pick Namada because they don't want their creatures exiled when they hit the graveyard. So there's kind of a weird mix of that. I think probably the more fun times I've played it haven't been like the super quick games, but they're the games where like the deck like just synergizes so well. Like you get the Sporloth Ancient and the Spore Crown Thalid and the Spore Mound and the Spore Sour Thalid out, like those four big ones. And they're all just synergizing with each other, and people are just like not in shock, but like they haven't really seen too much of that, and they're like, what is happening over there? Like, there's just a lot. Like, how are you getting so many saplings? I think those are my most fun games. 'Cause even if I don't win those, I'm like, oh cool, like I did a lot of stuff, like I made a lot of saplings. I think that's where I have the most fun. And of course, it's always great when I can show off the combo of how the deck works and be like, all right, I'm about to win. This is how I'm gonna, sack my creatures, which is gonna make you sack your creatures, and you're all gonna take 45 damage. I'm gonna have an unlimited amount of saplings. So, that's always kind of fun, so.
Awesome. That sounds like the kind of game where so in my Skull Symbol server, I have a channel in there for crazy board states. Those are always
Yeah.
fun to see people put those pictures in there.
I love crazy board states, whether it's my board or someone else's board. I think it's just so fun to see like someone's board just go crazy and you're like, Like how, like you can't even fit it all on there. Like how does this all work? I have that problem with I just built a Titania deck because she's one of the characters I cosplay, and that the board states in that deck can just get ridiculous, and it's a lot to keep track of, but it's fun, you know? Like
That's why I love my like I call them kerosene and matches decks, but they're group hug decks that
okay.
are focused on sharing a particular thing and then using it better. Like Tatyova uses the share card draw, but it also has extra land drops, so it's able to get ahead of everybody else. So I love those types of decks because they make the whole table explode. Probably.
Yeah, like I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about other people, but like Veggie Wagons, Tempting Worm deck is like one of my favorite decks ever because I think it is so fun to just have everybody just like put out their hands on the board, and it's just I love it. I love it so much. I think that's so fun.
My Yasova Dragonclaw deck, instead of running any actual removal, so it doesn't have like naturalize or anything in there, it has polymorph effects.
Okay.
So if somebody wants something gone, I'll make it gone. But what comes out next might be worse.
Yeah, that's it's kind of like just like that chaos, like Chaos Warp, I think is always so funny when someone plays that and they get rid of something and whatever comes out is just like insanely worse than what was out there to begin with and you're like, "Oh, okay. Okay, cool."
That's always when you can get those moments of excitement where nobody knows what's going to happen, and what winds up happening is just so crazy or chaotic. Those are the moments that I live for. Those are the ones that I play for.
Yeah, I think it makes games a lot more fun too.
They want that excitement, explosion, chaos. Those are the sorts of that's why I play the game, to create cool stories that we can share.
Yeah, I think that's really cool.
The game isn't really memorable, then why are you playing? I guess.
My games are memorable, I just don't remember
Oh yeah. I mean, I might not remember every single game I play, but like one of the ones I'll never forget is when I chaos on the last. So I survived at one, and then there were two other players that were eliminated by a big play, and then I survived. The opponent was at one, and I chaos warped my own soul ring into a Renin 6 to do one damage.
Oh wow.
Just nutty plays like that.
Yeah, I have a couple of those. I haven't had one with this deck yet, but like my Mael deck, I had a game where someone was playing Bindon of Thassa and forced me to swing, which would have tapped down all my creatures for them to swing in and kill me. I had Avacyn out, so all my creatures had indestructible. So I Path to Exiled my own Avacyn, so that way my creatures died, and I had a Stalking Vengeance out, so I ended up being able to deal enough damage to kill the person
Oh, nice.
when they died. So that was like one of the crazier things. And then, there's like little moments too. Like there was a game where I decided to put my commander in the graveyard because I had a recursion card in my hand, and then immediately someone Bajuka boxed me. That kind of stuff is just like, especially because I was a newer player, and I was like, "There's no way!" Like I was like, "You don't have a Bajuka bog," and he was like, "I don't know what that is," and I was like, "Okay." And then he played a Bajuka bog, and I was like, ah, yes, that's the card I was talking about.
Oh Nice. Yeah, so when they have like the one outs or things like that, especially when you don't know what the outs are, so much better.
Right.
If you know what the out is, you're like, oh, okay, they had that. So that's not necessarily the same as, oh, it was that one card?
Yeah. I mean, they were not li like they weren't lying. They were a new player, so they literally didn't know what the card was, but it was really funny in the moment. It was, I think we all just were like, whoa, like the whole table was going crazy because it was just so funny.
Nice. So yeah, when you have those moments, I know I haven't played in person for a while. It's kind of sad, but I'd certainly like to at some point. But when you have those moments where there's like people watching your game because you're playing cards that they've never seen before, or maybe because you become a sort of larger than life figure, that's got to be special.
Yeah, I think it's really fun when people, like, I lay out my decks and they're like, "What is this? We have never seen this." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, it was in Dominaria United. It has a mosaic art. It's especially because there's just been so many cards that have come out over the past couple years. Like, there's so many more opportunities for people to see commanders they've never seen." So I think people when they play against this do underestimate it a little bit because they just don't know how it works. But once they start seeing like the synergy, then yeah, then there's like the panic of, oh, okay, we need to stop what's happening over there. Sometimes people never see the synergy and then it's too late. And then by that point I'm like, well, GG, let's go on to the next game. But yeah, I think it's always fun to just kind of play a deck that people don't see as often. And this is one of them because fungi. And like the timing of this, like I said, The Last of Us just came out on TV. I did not plan that to coincide, but it somehow did. So every time I play it, someone makes a Last of Us comment. It's like, oh, it's like The Last of Us. And I'm like, yeah, kinda.
Well, as long as you're the last of us standing, right?
Yeah, like we're you're gonna have to get rid of the fungi, I guess. So it's kind of similar.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for being on. It's been an awesome time. Where can the people find you and your content?
So you can mostly find me on Twitter, twitter.com/giraffinat. But occasionally we'll stream on Twitch, not as often. I'm more so guesting on people's stuff at the moment. Like I said, you can usually find me at Magic events. I think the next one I'm going to be at is MagicCon Minneapolis. Yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Well, look forward to getting a game in with you sometime. I'm not sure if we have yet.
I don't know if we have played a game yet,
If
which is
not,
crazy.
we'll have to schedule one, eh?
Yeah, which is crazy. If we haven't, we may have. Like I said, I'm really bad at remembering games,
That's okay.
but if we have or haven't, we should play again soon.
Sounds good. I'd love to. All right, well, have a great rest of your day, and look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you so much for having me.